In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There have been a number of televangelists over those last 50, 60 years. And some of them, I think, have really impacted a number of our lives. Where would we be today without the likes of Billy Graham and Bishop Fulton Sheen, if you remember some of those individuals? Some of us, I think, have even been truly formed by what it is that we have heard and seen through the medium of television and these evangelists. I know that there's one in particular who has had a great impact, not only on me personally, but certainly on my preaching style. How many of you remember Father Guido Sarducci? One of my favorites. If you don't know who this character is, Tom Navarro, who plays this Roman Catholic priest sent to the United States. It was first on Laugh-In, and then later, whenever Tom was writing for Saturday Night Live, he reprised the role a few times there. You've no doubt seen him. If you don't know him, the character is, of course, dressed in all black as a Roman Catholic priest, huge floppy black hat, and always chain-smoking a cigarette. And he has some real pearls of wisdom every once in a while. Things that really make you think. One of my favorite is whenever he's talking and he says, you know, if God made us all in his image, why aren't we all invisible? You know. But he had a really good one, and I came across it this week. It reminded me of it. On some SNL show, he said, Episcopalians, it's just Catholics who failed Latin. Catholics who failed Latin. Speaking of Latin, today in our gospel lesson, we hear the phrase, the Lamb of God, the Agnus Dei. The Agnus Dei is, in fact, the most, now I was not able to independently confirm this, but I read in two sources this week that Agnus Dei, Lamb of God, is the most searched for Latin phrase on Google. What number two is? Any guesses? No such luck. Quid pro quo. That's a sermon we're not doing today, okay? Agnus Dei, Lamb of God, it is part of our liturgy, it's part of our art history in Christianity. As a matter of fact, you can see it in different forms all throughout Christendom. It's even here in this building. As a matter of fact, if everyone turns their heads, you can see in this ascension window, in the little rosette above Jesus, there is a lamb holding a flag, coincidentally the flag of England, and that is the image of the Agnus Dei. The Lamb of God. Now, throughout art and throughout literature and throughout our liturgy with those pieces of the Agnus Dei, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, how many times must that phrase be in the Bible? How many times is the phrase, the Lamb of God, in the Bible? Any guesses? A lot?
Seven.
Throw out another number.
You're
close. Twice. It's only twice. And we just read them both. That phrase, the Lamb of God, appears in Scripture only twice. It's in this particular passage. It's fascinating to me that it has had such an impact. Now, we can go through the New Testament and look and see Jesus being referred to as the Lamb repeatedly, especially in the book of Revelation. However, that phrase, Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, appears only twice. And I think that there is a reason, there has to be a reason, why that phrase has had such an impact on Christianity. And I think it's twofold, and I want you to follow me here. The first is the fact that it comes from someone that we ascribe a great deal of authority to, John the Baptist. It's not just anybody who's out shouting,
Behold the Lamb of God. It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the forerunner, the one who is sent before Jesus to make way for him. When he says it, obviously it must be something important. That phrase, that image has to be important because John the Baptist is important to the life and ministry of Jesus. Here's the second thing, and I think perhaps the most important thing about that phrase. It's not the Lamb of God. It's the descriptor after the comma, who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away the shame, who takes away the problems in our lives, who takes away the things that we wish that we had never done or the things that we wish that we had done but didn't, takes away the sin of the world, takes away that lack of love that we've had for those around us. It's a sign of someone or something who can make us whole and complete. It doesn't just get rid of it. Doesn't just forgive it. Takes it away. Removes it. Blots it out. Makes it as if it never happened to begin with. That sort of restoration and wholeness is something that I think is truly what the human soul longs for. I want you to notice something very specific, because I have, over the course of this past week, read many commentaries that have failed to mention or appreciate perhaps the most important thing in that phrase, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I've read some sermons, I've read some commentaries about all of this, and what it seems to miss is the fact that John the Baptist said, who takes away the sin. Sin, not sins, there's no S on the end of that. Sin of the world. Now, I went back, I pulled out my little book I studied, Greek hat, and I pulled out the original Greek New Testament, and I looked that up, and lo and behold, even in the original Greek New Testament, it's not sins. It's not a translation issue. It's sin, singular. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Which led me to ponder quite a bit this week, what is the sin of the world? Now, the sins of the world, we can come up with a list, right? We can come up with a whole list of sins. That's easy to do. We're Christians. We got that down pat in history, okay? But what is the sin of the world? And I thought long and hard about this week, and I've read some other people, and I must think that I'm smarter than all of them, because I've got a different sort of set than what I've read this week. But the sin of the world, I believe, my brothers and sisters, is the fact that we just don't love each other like we should. We just don't love each other like we should. We don't respect each other as we should. We don't look out for each other as we should. The sin of the world is the fact that we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. And sometimes we don't love ourselves. So how can we love our neighbors? My brothers and sisters, if we actually followed what Jesus taught, his public ministry was 3 years. 3 years of teaching. 3 years of showing people, telling people, providing stories and examples, showing what love and restoration is like. If we could follow that, if only we could, I think this world would be transformed. I think that this world would not have that sin. I think we could find true wholeness and restoration. 3.5 years of showing people what it's like to provide grace and mercy instead of just retribution and me. 3 years of loving and caring. 3 years of putting others ahead of himself. 3 years. And we've had 2,000 years to practice it. My brothers and sisters, I'm sad to say, we're not that far ahead of where we started from, 2 millennia ago. So should we give up? No. I hope nobody said no. That would be a horrible answer. Don't do that. What we are called to be as Christians, or a people who try a little more each and every day to actually listen to Jesus, follow Jesus, love a little more, care a little more, put others ahead of ourselves a little more, to show that respect, to end that lack of love, to love ourselves so that we can love the world. Our job is to try. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, we have not yet got to that part where he will come again in triumph and glory to end all of that, to bring us to that fullness and restoration, bring us to that point. He hasn't got here yet. He has not come back here yet. That doesn't mean that we don't try to live into, just as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That means that we try. We fail. We fail a lot. I know. That's the human condition. But we try. That's all God, I believe, is ever asking of us. Just try. Live a little more. Practice it a little more. Because as Sam and I pointed out this morning, practice, if you don't practice it, you lose it. If we don't practice love and kindness and caring, we're never going to fully realize what it can do for the world, what it can do for us, what it can do for the ministry of Jesus here in the world, where we can gather all these people together and make them feel that they are appreciated and loved, and that we can actually love ourselves too. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is a beautiful fact, and it's a beautiful promise. We're still living into that. We will continue to live into that all our days, till the Lord comes again. I look forward to that day. I wish it were here now. But we're going to keep plugging along. We're going to keep practicing. Because practice makes perfect. We're going to keep practicing. So that we can be a part of the solution and not a part of the sin of the world. Here in a few minutes, whenever we have communion, we don't normally do this except at Easter, but I'm going to hold up the bread and the wine together, and I'm going to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because we too can participate in being a little closer to our God who loves us, cherishes us, and wants us to succeed, helping the world to be the place that God so desperately longs for it to be.